the expression of the church as the as what has come out of. If you look at your bookmark again, you have the issue of the experience of the triune God as life is the church. Okay, so the first part is the experience of the triune God in various aspects. And then we begin with chapter 14 as the church, the issue of the experience of life. Then the first message was dealing with the Father's house for his dwelling. And this second one is the Son's vine for his spreading. Let's read John chapter 15, 1 through 17. On the one hand, it's a very familiar portion. On the other hand, we may think that we know it because it's familiar. Let's read it again for the first time. Exercise our spirit as we read to really touch what is the word here. It's a very precious portion. All right, let's do it this way. Let's take half and half, coming right down the middle here. Read verse 1 and here over verse 2. So verse 1 is here, verse 2 here, 3 and so on. Okay, go. Amen.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away.
Yes.
And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it.
Amen.
That it may bear more fruit.
Yes.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Amen. Amen.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
Amen, Lord.
You abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you.
Okay, sisters, again, read that verse. Exercise your spirit.
You abide in me.
Yes.
And my words abide in you.
Amen.
Ask whatever you will,
and
it shall be done for you.
Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Yes. And abide in his love. Amen.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you.
Amen.
No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends.
You
are my friends if you do what I command you.
Amen. Yes.
All the things which I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Amen.
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should
He may give you altogether things I command you, that you may love one another. Again, we're talking about the church, and we're talking about the church as it's presented in the sign of the vine of Christ. And we know that this sign indicates something of the organism of the triune God. And we'll just move through the outline, I think, fairly briskly. We'll touch on the burden concerning fruit-bearing, which is not strongly emphasized in this outline, but surely is a major factor in the spreading. And the key thing, saints, is we need to recognize that we are not here simply to be an expression alone. We're here for that expression to go out, for that expression to spread. And in this chapter, it's particularly brought out the fruit-bearing vine. The vine, as we know, the vine is not a beautiful vine in and of itself. That is, it doesn't have a beauty in terms of its appearance. It is not useful for anything concerning the kind of craftsmanship that might be used on it. It's not useful as a decorative piece. Its blossom is very small, not impressive, but when it bears fruit, it's beautiful. It is something that is to be desired. It is rich. It is displaying the richness of what has been dispensed into it. And we are here to be that vine, the continuation of Christ in the earth. So our place is glorious, really. It is to be the continuation of this wonderful person. In chapter 14, as was brought out, the Lord Jesus introduced this kind of thought of a joining of God with man. Now, surely there had been, the whole scripture brings into focus something of this desire, but you don't see it clearly until John 14. In John 14, the Lord brings in the view that we are here being joined to the triune God. It is not a simply a matter that, as Marty brought out very clearly, that, well, one day we're going to go to that great mansion in the sky, and it will be eternally joyful in that mansion that the Lord has prepared for us. It is absolutely out of or to the side of what the Lord speaks for us to imagine this kind of thing. But it has become a major thing in Christianity. Whenever you have a funeral, you have John chapter 14 and that great mansion in the sky. This almost inevitably is going to come out. But this is not what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about a joining of God with man. One of the things that we have in the Lord's recovery is a opening up of what is in the heart of God. What is the economy of God? What is the plan of God? What is the purpose of God? Something has been opened to us that has not been opened to most Christians throughout the ages. It has been opened to us. When Brother Lee began to speak these things concerning the Lord's recovery in this country, you remember he referred to us sometimes as playing music to the cows, because we just didn't get it. We understood the words, but we never saw. We never entered into this kind of revelation. What has been given to us today is a group of people on this earth who really do see something. I mean, that's marvelous. When we began, we didn't get it. We understood the words and we repeated the words and we sang the words and we enjoyed the words, but we didn't see it. Didn't really see what is this organism of the triune God. But today, it's here. It's our experience. We are experiencing these things. Okay, you might say to me, well, we've got problems. Yeah, I understand that. We all have problems. We have problems with every place and every kind of situation. But we see something. We really see something. And whenever the word is brought to us, all of the problems disappear. You know, we talked this morning, there was some testimony along this line. When the vision is clear, everything goes away, right? We just know what we're doing here afresh. When the vision gets clouded, we got problems. We're worried, we're concerned, we've got all these things. But when that vision is clear, when the Lord speaks to us again, we know what we're doing here. We understand. We are a new creation. We are God manifested now in the flesh. God seen on the earth. God experienced. When we speak this word in the anointing and with the vision, that word penetrates. We know the power of that word. It is not a doctrine. It's not a teaching. It is the word of God. God is making himself a part of his own creation. This is a tremendous revelation in the Bible. It's there from the beginning, but we didn't see it. We didn't get it until recently. I appreciate to the uttermost the brothers who are working on these outlines. And I appreciate the Lord through them continually opens to us this kind of vision. So we see, we know, we understand, and we can speak it again. Okay, so here we have now this joining of God with man in the aspect of the Son's vine. The Father's house is emphasized in chapter 14. In chapter 15, it's very clearly the Son's vine. When you say the Son's vine, it's actually the Son as the vine, but it's extended in that all the members of the Son, all the members of his body, are a part of that vine. He's the vine, we're the branches. But if you cut away all of the branches, the vine is very limited. It's still living, it's still there, but the branches are the expression. The branches are the way in which the vine spreads. If you don't have the branches, the vine is there. It's real, it's living, it's an organism, but it doesn't have the expression, and it cannot bear fruit. The Lord said to his disciples, without me you can do nothing. But he could have said, without you I can do nothing. In this sense, don't misunderstand my words. Of course, he is omnipotent. He is everywhere. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is everywhere present. He's all powerful. He is. But in terms of his intention and his goal, his vision, his burden, he can do nothing if the branches aren't there. And the branches have to be abiding. If the branches don't abide, there's no fruit. And then he says, if there's no fruit, eventually the branches are cut off. Well, it doesn't mean that the Lord will be intending to come and discipline everybody. It means the Lord is seeking fruit. He's seeking to have the expanding of himself, the spreading. He wants to be completing God's purpose. So he begins this chapter with saying, I am the vine. And then he says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. My Father is the one who is actually expressing himself in this cultivated vine. He is cultivating. He is the farmer carrying out his purpose through this vine. Okay, so let's go to the outline. The Son's vine is the organism of the triune God in the divine economy to do a few things. Number one, it's organism. Number two is to grow with his riches. Number three is to express his life. And number four is to bear fruit. But it's all together in terms of he's the organism in the divine economy to grow and express through the bearing of fruit. The bearing of fruit is a critical factor. When we said a moment ago that the cutting off, what we're basically saying is all the nourishment is gone. You don't enjoy the Lord. When you're not bearing fruit, the life flow stops. It'll flow whenever we let it flow. Whenever we exercise for it to flow, it will flow. And when it flows, it will bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not a matter of effort. Bearing fruit is a matter of life. It flows in us. We are the organism of the triune God. So this chapter doesn't begin with saying, go out and bear fruit. It begins with the fact he is the true vine. The Father is the cultivating farmer. And we are the branches. So here, the organism of the triune God is to grow with his riches. And then to express his life. And the way that life is expressed is through fruit bearing. Here the fruit bearing is not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, of course, is a matter that it has the various aspects of that life growing in us. And there is that aspect. But here, the bearing of fruit is fruit that remains. It is the going out to bear fruit. And by those two illustrations, you can see this fruit is a matter of the spreading. The vine is spreading. People are being contacted. People are being spoken to. And as they're being spoken to, the Spirit is working. And the Word operating in these new ones brings that life, which is in the Word, into them and brings them into God. This is the process of the divine economy. God speaks in his members. And when the speaking goes out, it operates in those who hear. And when it operates in those who hear, there is a drawing. So we continually are just dispensing, speaking, speaking. It's not an issue of effort. I'll say again, it's a matter of life flowing. So here the emphasis is, The Son's vine is the organism of the triune God in the divine economy to grow with his riches, to express his life, and the expression of his life is fruit bearing. Okay. A, the function of the true vine as a sign of the Son is for the triune God to have an organism in the Son for his multiplication, spreading, and glorification in his divine life. We saw this morning that the function of the church in terms of the sign of the Father's house is to give him a dwelling. But here, the function of the true vine as the sign of the Son. Okay, again, we're talking about the church in aspects, the sign of the house, the sign of the vine, the sign of the child, in terms of the sign of the Son as the true vine, the function is for the triune God to have an organism. And this organism is in the Son, and it's for His multiplication, for His spreading, and for His glorification in the divine life. All right, look at the verses that are mentioned here. John 15, verse 8. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will become my disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, hallelujah, but I chose you. Amen. And I chose you, not only I chose you, but I set you, that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. I chose you for this. Part of that is to ask the Father in my name so that He may give you. And this is related to fruit bearing again. Sometimes we read these verses without a clear sight of what we're talking about. So we see, oh, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give you. Very wonderful, very good. Now I'm going to ask Him for that job I've really needed. And He's going to give it to me. But that's not the context. He may give you the job, but that's not His goal. That's not His desire. And I used the term this morning when I was speaking concerning the who we are, that God is not here for our existence. We are here. We exist, sorry, I put it this way. God does not exist for us. We exist for God. So we should not have the view of asking for things that will make us more comfortable or things that will fit our need or even things that we really honestly do need. The Lord said, the Father knows you have need of these, but seek first His kingdom. His righteousness. Well, sometimes we get confused because our vision is not clear. And we have the accuser come in and saying, look how egocentric God is. He wants everything for Him. It's not that He's egocentric, it's that He is. And we are not. Apart from Him, We really are empty creatures. We're created by God with a view that God would fill us with Himself. It's not that you got to do this because that's what God says. It's that this is life. This is who we are. We are the organism of the triune God. We are that. And we are that because this life has come into us. Not because we've done the right thing. Not because we're try-hard. This is a matter of life. We are the organism of the triune God because that life has been dispensed into us. And now we live because He lives. Our life is the continuation of His life. Apart from this, our life is meaningless. It's emptiness. The organism of this vine is just who we are. If you don't go by this, you don't go by who you are. You go by who you were. And who you were is empty. Listen, sometimes we don't realize this. Do you know what your destiny was? I know intellectually we know. Our destiny was the lake of fire. That's a fact. God created us to fill us with Himself. But if we're not filled with Himself, we are useless and we belong only in one place, to be isolated in a lake that never stops burning. What is that lake that never stops burning? I don't know. And I don't want to know. That is something apart from God. But that's not who we are. So we need a vision that centers us on who we are. We need a vision. We are the sun's vine. We are this organism. We need to pray for that. Lord, open my eyes. Grant me a vision to realize. I'm not here to be a good Christian. I'm not here to be a good sister in the local church. I'm not here to be a powerful speaker. I'm not here for anything except to be in the vine. In the vine, in the organism, flowing together with Him. If we see that, it delivers us from many, many issues in our mind, in our thinking, in our worrying. And it delivers us from many things that we otherwise would be praying for that are vanity. Your Father knows you have need of these things. You really don't need to spend your time agonizing over that situation, this circumstance. Enjoy the Lord. Be in the vine. Let that life flow. Allow Him to be God in your life. So the function here, the function of the vine, the function of the true vine is so that the triune God can have an organism in the Son for His multiplication. Well, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to try hard to multiply Him. We are His multiplication. And if we allow that life to flow in us, we just express Him, and He spreads. We enjoy Him. One of the questions, and we answered last night, was a question related to, I'm working 12 hours a day, I'm 80 hours a week, and if I don't have time to spend with the Lord, what can I do? And our response is, spend time with the Lord. I mean, really, because that's the only thing that works. Nothing else is going to work. Should I quit my job? Well, maybe, but that has to be because you talk to the Lord. It's not that, okay, I'm going to do that so that. Don't do that. Talk to the Lord. Open to the Lord. Don't try to be a good Christian. You're not a good Christian. He's the only good Christian. His life in us is the reality. Nothing else is real. All of our effort to be spiritual is vanity. It's emptiness. All of our effort to be victorious doesn't mean anything. It's this life in us. We are branches in the vine. This is a divinely inspired and operated fact. God is in us. God is moving in us to express Himself, to move through us. When you're trying hard, you have disagreements. When you're trying hard, you're frustrated with yourself and you're frustrated with one another. You're frustrated with your husband. You're frustrated with your children. Nothing is working right. But when you're in the vine, everything is fine. Even if it's not fine, it's fine. You understand me? It's not a matter of the Lord needs to solve my problems. We have a hymn I appreciate very much. Hymn 403. Live thyself, Lord Jesus, through me. For my very life art thou. Thee I take. Thee I take. To all my problems as the full solution. Now. It doesn't say, thee I take to solve all my problems. It's thee I take as the solution. Not only the solution, but the full solution to all my problems. So this is a matter of enjoying Christ. It's not trying harder. I've said that several times, but I still probably will say it more. Because we are almost incurable. We try harder. It's the old nature trying to be spiritual, trying to be victorious, trying to be faithful, trying to be obedient. But that old nature cannot be obedient, cannot be faithful, cannot be victorious. That old nature is impotent, has nothing to do with the life that we have. So we need to deny the self. But we don't deny the self by the self. The self is an imitator. The self will behave itself according to what you want it to do, except it can never be living. It can only pretend. It can pretend to be very spiritual, but eventually you discover that spirituality is not God. It's something different. So we have to have this clear realization. The function of the true vine is for God to have an organism. It's not even for us to be an organism. It's for God to have an organism. That's the function of the vine. And that will be for his multiplication, spreading, glorification in his divine life. B, God the Father, as a husbandman, is the source and the founder. God the Son is the center, the embodiment, and the manifestation. God the Spirit is the reality and realization. And the branches are the body, the corporate expression. I started to say concrete expression. The corporate expression. All that the Father is and has is embodied in Christ, the Son, and then is realized in the Spirit as the reality. All that the Spirit has is wrought into us, the branches, to be expressed and testified through us. In this way, the process triune God is expressed, manifested, and glorified in the church. Okay, the Father's the one who planned from eternity past. He purposed that he would have a people on this earth. Ephesians chapter 1 is always inspiring to see how we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and that we were predestinated in him to be sons. The word is unto sonship. We were predestinated for this life that is in him to be dispensed into us. That's already done. The Father planned it. The Father purposed it. He is the source. He is the founder. So in your reading, in the morning revival, there's a statement to the fact that the Father's enterprise from eternity is the vine. That was what he determined. So the center of the Father's determination, the center of the Father's intention and plan, the center of God's purpose is the Son. The Son is the embodiment of the Father. The Son, what's in the Father, everything that's in the Father is in the Son. The Lord Jesus said in chapter 14, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I speak, he does the work." There's just the eternal oneness here. He is the center. When Christ came to the earth, God came, as Marty shared with us, illustrated for us this morning. This is a fact. God came to the earth in this person. This person is God manifested in the flesh. He is the fullness of the Godhead. Everything of God dwells in him. He is now the one who has passed through death, raised up in resurrection, ascended to the heavens, crowned with glory and honor. He is the one who is now operating in the earth. He's the center of everything. You want life, it's in the Son. He that has the Son has the life. He that has not the Son of God does not have the life. The life is in the Son. He is life to us now. He's the center of everything. The Father gave him a name above every name. At his name, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
This is to the glory of the Father. This is God's intention. Jesus, Lord of all. He is the Lord. Everything of God is now in him. Then everything that he is, he said, has now been delivered to the Spirit. What the Father gave me, God, he gave me everything. Now the Spirit will manifest to you. The Spirit is now the reality of God coming to us. We can't touch Christ in his embodied person. We touch him as the Spirit. The Spirit now is the reality of this Christ. And then all of this is the summation. All that the Spirit has wrought, all that the Spirit has, is wrought into us. All that the Spirit has. Listen, everything that God is and has is in the Son. Everything that the Son is and has is now in the Spirit. Everything that the Spirit is and has is now wrought into us. Huh? In South America, I might say, si o no? Si. Amen. Claramente. It's an accomplished fact. Everything is now dispensed into the branches. Well, you may say, I don't feel like that. It's not a matter of your feeling. It's a matter of faith. And it's not a matter of trying to believe. It's a matter of seeing. We need a vision. If we see it, we have it. To whatever degree we see it. And I don't claim right now, you know, I'm here declaring this without any doubt at all, but I don't claim that I live that. Because I don't see it in my daily living. But I have the aspiration that that will be a fact. So I exercise to join myself to him at every opportunity. Open to him. Allow him to dispense into me what he is. Because that's his intention. That's his goal. And already it's accomplished in God. In Christ. Okay, so two. So first of all, then, we're the organism. Roman numeral 2, read together, please.
As the branches
of Christ, we are. The multiplication of Christ.
Amen.
We are.
Amen.
The duplication of Christ. We are the spreading of Christ. We are the enlargement of Christ. When we believed into the Lord Jesus, he branched into us, and we became branches in him. We could have many testimonies concerning our experience. We didn't believe, and then we believed. What happened? He branched into us. I was an unbeliever. Absolute unbeliever. And then he branched, and I became a believer. When I was, when we were living in Berkeley, I used to tell the students down there at that time, I'm so glad I'm a believer. What a mercy to be a believer. There are many unbelievers in this world, but praise the Lord, I'm a believer. When we believed, he branched. Or actually, we could say it this way, when he branched, we believed. We had a little bit of an opening and he came in, and then we believed. That was my experience. My experience was to say, well, God, if you are, I'd like to know you. And he is. And I know him. It's the mercy of God. We had him branched into us. Okay, then the vine is everything to the branches. Praise the Lord. The vine is almost everything. The vine is a lot. He is everything. Everything. Then C tells us that he has, that as the vine, he does everything through the branches. Without him, we can do nothing, but without us, he can do nothing. He's, you know, this is why through the Apostle Paul, he begged, I beseech you, present your bodies. I think this is the Lord beseeching us. Present your bodies. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this world have a hold on you. You belong to him. Don't give the world anything. Don't allow it anything. You don't owe it anything. Everything is in him. And he wants to do God's purpose. He wants to fulfill God's purpose on the earth. And that is through us. If he has some vessels here, he can move. If he doesn't have the vessels, he has to wait until he has the vessels. He's calling out to us. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world. D says that the branches are for the bearing of fruit to express the riches of the Father's life in the divine dispensing. We've touched that already. E, by practicing the God-ordained way. Okay, circle the God-ordained way. By practicing the God-ordained way, to carry out the divine economy, we fulfill our destiny as branches to go forth and bear fruit. Okay, these two points, D and E, are on the fruit bearing. And then you have the practice of the God-ordained way. Practice of the God-ordained way is not a kind of methodology we've adopted. The God-ordained way is a way ordained by God. It's just how he has made himself available. It's how he moves. It's how he works on the earth. Taking this portion of the word, we can say the God-ordained way consists of 7 points. And maybe you'd find more points and maybe you'd find less. I don't know. But anyway, I'd say 7 points in chapter 15. Number one is be clean by the word. You are clean by the word that I've spoken to you. I believe that's verse 3. Okay. Come to the word. You cannot be clean in any other way. It is through the word. In John 17, sanctify them through sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God, the word of Christ, is truth. And we are sanctified in that truth. That is, we are made clean in that truth. We are set apart in that truth. If you're not in the truth, your efforts to serve God are absolutely vain. You cannot serve. You have to be in the word. You have to be full of the word. So there's a need for us to set time to spend in the word. There's a need for us to establish a definite schedule I'll tell you, and you could tell me amen, I'm sure, that you will never read the Bible, you will never study the Bible without a schedule. Well, you may, once or twice, but you will not spend regular time in the Word unless it's scheduled. Because your experience is, other things come in. Incredibly, before you started to read the Bible, just read it, you didn't have anything to do. As soon as you start to read the Bible, there are 10 things have to be done now. Right? I mean, it's this way. There is suddenly, this and that has to be taken care of. The dog needs to be let out. The cat needs to be let in. I mean, it's just everything. And these things distract you from the only thing that matters. We get clean by the Word. The Word is key. Set a schedule. Maybe you can only find 15 minutes. Good. Use it. Use it. And I can guarantee you, you will find more time. Because the Word is so full. The Word is so rich. The Word cleanses us. The Word satisfies us. The Word nourishes us. You are clean through the Word. Then two, abide in Him. This is verse 5. Abide in Him. How do you abide in Him? Well, you spend time in the Word. You pray. You stop. You stop. You stop. We are busy people. And to abide in Him means every once in a while you just stop. Lord, I take You. You're my life. To abide in Him means you always are opening your being to Him. You're giving Him room in you. You're refusing to be distracted. You realize who you are. You are God. In you for His expression. That's who you are. Nothing else. Sometimes I ask, what are you going to do with your life? You got one life. What are you going to do with it? Let me tell you, that life gets over in a hurry. I was a young man yesterday. It seems that way. Everything just, it's gone. What matters? Christ in you. Amen. Means stop. Open your being to Him. Give Him some ground in you. When you're about ready to respond to your husband, stop. Open to Him. Let Him be the one who answers. When you're about ready to discipline your children, stop. Joan has a testimony she used to, before she would discipline the children, she'd go into the bedroom and pray. And the kids would say, uh-oh. It's really, you know, we need to realize He's everything to us. You don't know how to discipline your children. You don't know how to be a mom. I mean, you know, a mother who hasn't had a child yet says, I don't know how to be a mom, but a mother who's had 15 can probably say, I don't know how to be a mom. We need the Lord. We need Him every moment. We need to stop and turn to Him, open to Him. Needless to say, we need to spend time with Him every morning. We need another schedule, a schedule just to spend time with the Lord. Open our being up to Him. Again, if you can find 10 minutes, do it. 10 minutes is good. 20 is better. 10 is good. Do it. Set the time. Keep the time. Guard the time. It's the only way to abide in Him. Is to open to Him. Let Him abide in you. And that's the next point. Let Him abide in us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, well, you abide in me and I abide in you. Then what happens? We bear fruit. Well, look at the, remind yourself again. Chapter 15. Verse 4 tells us, abide in me and I in you. It's a double abiding. For him to abide in us is a matter of our allowing him to abide in us. It's giving him room to abide in us. For us to abide in him is for us to stop and turn to him. We are a very particular people. We've said a number of times, but we're also strange. In this sense, we have a double nature. We got one nature that is God. We got another nature that is the devil. It's infested with that old creation that fell. Now that old creation that fell can do nothing, has nothing. We need to abide in him. That's the new creation. We need to allow him to abide in us. That's open our being up to him. Let him come in. And how do you let him? Just talk to him. Lord, come in. It's not a matter of knowing how. We don't know how. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to be. But it is a matter of allowing him. Give him the room. Allow him to come in. Stop and let him come into you. Let him abide in you. Number four, let the living words abide in us. Okay? Be clean by the word, abide in him, let him abide in us, let his living words abide in us. You abide in me and I abide in you, and then you abide in me and my words abide in you. My words abiding in you is by your letting the word abide in you. This is also Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word come in. How do you let the word come in? Stop. Read the Bible. Pray, read. I don't know the right way. I'm just telling you, that's what we do. That's the God-ordained way. God-ordained way is not do things in a certain pattern. God-ordained way is God moving in us. And here it is a matter of letting his word abide in us. Number five, pray to the Father for his fruit, for his glory. In verse 7, it tells us that we could ask and we'd receive it. Verse 16, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Yeah. So twice he tells us, ask for fruit. Ask in relation to fruit. Ask. Every day, we should begin our day opening to the Lord, enjoying the Lord, participating in his rich supply, in his fellowship, in his flowing life. And then as a part of that whole fellowship with him, Lord, bear fruit in me today. Open the door for me today. And Lord, come in. Flow through me. Just flow through me today. I don't know how to be a fruit bearer. But Lord, your word is in me. You are in me. Flow. flow out to others. Grant me fruit today. Every day we want fruit. Every day we want to see this expanding Christ going out. There is nothing so joyful in our lives as to have someone receive the Lord. It's so joyful. You're so happy. We went out the other day, just a few days ago, knocked on some doors. Nobody was open. Two people kind of responded out of, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 doors. It was mostly older people who were set, settled, and occupied. And it just was the way it was. Then I got a note from a brother yesterday, said, we followed up on one of those you contacted. His dad died just a couple of days before we got there, and he was wide open. And he called on the Lord with us. He received the Bible, and he asked for another Bible. This is full of joy. It's not something we do. It's just what we are. We just live this life. It's not an activity. The gospel is not an activity. The gospel is every day. Gospel is just Christ flowing in us. This is the fruit bearing. Number 6, abide in his love and love one another. Very important. You go to verse 9, verse 12. The loving one another is a crucial factor. Sometimes we have problems. We come together with a view, we want to carry out the Lord's purpose, but our coming together is not for life. It doesn't flow. It's better don't come together. But then we should come together. So what should we do? Pray. Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord. Lord, fill me with your love. You know, I can't love this person. It's not that I hate the person, it's just that I can't love. I don't have that energy flowing out. Lord, you love through me. And then sometimes you need to speak maybe something. In your prayer, I love this person. The enemy will say, you're phony. You don't love that person. Then you have to say, no, you're the phony. God is love and God is in me. Amen. And he loves that person. I love that person. Amen. This is a matter of faith. Sometimes you need to pray that way, if you're led that way. It's not a method, but so I've experienced that a few times where I pray that way. The love of God flows. It just flows because we allow it. We need to love one another. The love of God is what is moving. It is the life of God, but it's the life of God is the love of God. Okay. Sorry, we don't have that much time. 7, go forth and bear remaining fruit. There's 6 things before you get to 7. Don't set your goal to go out and bear fruit. Set your goal to abide in him, to be cleaned by his word. To let him abide in you, to let his words abide in you, to ask. Make this your priority, not going out. Going out certainly is a factor, but it is not the factor. The fruit bearing is a matter of life flowing. Okay, and that's the God-ordained way. So when he says, by practicing the God-ordained way to carry out the divine economy, we fulfill our, look at that, destiny. Our destiny as branches is to go forth and bear fruit. He chose us for this. That's not a kind of accident. We go forth and bear fruit. But it's out of the flowing life. So when we care for the God-ordained way, it is then that we fulfill our destiny. Okay? Roman numeral 3, please read. Amen. Our abiding in Christ is as the vine, depends on, underline, circle, highlight, depends on seeing a clear vision. And what is that vision? That we are branches in the vine. We have to see it. We have to pray for it. We have to see. By spending time with Him, we are the branches in the vine. We need a vision. Then when we see it, we will abide. Once we see that we are branches in the vine, we need to maintain, second part of it. One is we need the vision. Secondly, we need to maintain the fellowship between us and the Lord. We are branches in the vine, but there may be things that are insulating us from the life flow. Those things need to be taken care of. How do you take care of them? Spend time with the Lord. Open to the Lord. Ask Him to shine so that you have the opportunity to realize. We are not sinless perfection. We are not perfection and we're not sinless. We are just human beings who contain God. And God wants to spread into every part of us. But we have some barriers due to a number of things. Opinions. Unfulfilled ambitions. Unforgiven offenses. These things crowd out the Lord. He wants to flow. But we have these things in us that stop that flow. We have the things in us that hinder. Well, don't try to analyze yourself and see what's wrong with you. It's unending. But it doesn't work anyway. Because it's not a matter of what you think, it's a matter of what He shines on. Just open to Him. So maintain the fellowship, through opening to Him, to allow Him to be in you and allow Him to shine into you so that you can be freed from the things that are hindering that flowing life. Okay? Apart from the vine, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing. Only when the branches abide in the vine can the vine be everything to them. To abide in the Lord is to be one spirit with Him. That is, to live in the mingled spirit. Okay, this is a particular point here, and we'll get into it now. The essence of the New Testament is the two spirits. The divine spirit and the human spirit mingled together as one spirit. The union of God and man is a union of two spirits, Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. The union of these two spirits is the deepest mystery in the Bible. Okay, first, it's the essence of the New Testament. Secondly, it's the deepest mystery in the Bible. Thirdly, it's the focus of God's economy. The focus of God's economy is the mingled spirit, the divine spirit mingled with the human spirit. Whatever God intends to do or accomplish is related to this focus. By being one spirit with the Lord, we can experience Him as the all-inclusive one, taking Him as everything to us. When we are one spirit with the Lord, we enjoy the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. To be, okay, read together four. Amen. The Lord is the Spirit, and the Lord as the Spirit has entered into our spirit, not only entered into our spirit, but is mingled with our spirit, so that the two become one. There are those who disagree with the thought of the mingling of the Spirit with the Spirit. But how else can the two spirits be one spirit? There has to be not only a kind of joining, there has to be a mingling. There has to be the intertwining of one with the other. So that when I exercise my spirit, the Spirit witnesses with my spirit. This is a recorded fact in the divine revelation. It's a fact that God and I are joined. It's a fact that we have become mingled in spirit. And it's a fact, even eventually, that we're incorporated in person. This is who we are on the earth. We are this blending of God and man. Okay, so to be a proper Christian, you have to know this. I think this will be the last time I'll say it. Stop trying. We need to see. When we see it, we become it. It's really the vision incorporates us into God. It brings us into God Himself. Well, I hope you'll spend some time on these outlines to consider these things. Really consider them until they become so real to you. You realize. I mean, I know you're not arguing with me as I'm fellowshipping. I understand that. But seeing it is still something deeper. We sang, we need a deeper knowing. We need a deeper knowing. We need to see clearly. This is who we are. If I recognize, I realize that I have been joined to the Lord and mingled with the Lord, it affects the way I speak. It affects the way I think. It affects my whole being, because I am now an expression of God. To the degree I'm one with Him, I express Him. And my degree of being one is based upon my vision. What do I see? Is this really what the Bible says? I'm convinced. I have no doubt at all. This is what the Bible tells us. The Bible unveils this to us. Now, we are here captivated by Him. He touched our being. He brought us to Himself. And we are here to live this out. Okay? Roman numeral 4, when we abide in Christ as the true vine, we have the church life. What is the church life? The church life is a matter of abiding. The church life is the expression of the abiding. We can have the church life only by living in the mingled spirit. In Christ, as the life-giving spirit mingled with our spirit, we should remain in this mingled spirit for the church life. The branches are one with a vine and one with one another. The church life is a life of loving one another. In the life of Christ, in the love of Christ, and in the commission of Christ. When we abide in Christ as the true vine, we participate in the wonderful fellowship among the co-branches. Okay, just a brief word here, and I'm out of time, so just very briefly. When we come together, it needs to be to life. We don't come together to gossip. We don't come together to criticize. We don't come together to correct. We don't come together with anything of our natural intention. We come together to touch God, to pray, to be one with Him for what He wants to do. That's the church life. We don't come together to display what we know. We don't come together to try to convince one another. We come together to know God, touch God, enjoy God. We have no other reason to come together. If we're coming together for another reason, we should stop coming together. But we shouldn't stop coming together. We should just come together in the right spirit, in the right way. Okay. When we abide in Christ as the true vine, we participate in the wonderful fellowship among the co-branches. The inner life of all the branches is one, and this life should continually circulate through all the branches. Such a fellowship must be unique because Christ is unique. It forbids any division among the members of his unique body. Then the fellowship involves not only the oneness between us and the triune God, but also the oneness among all the believers. Because what? We're mingled with in one spirit with the Lord. That means you have the same spirit I have. Is that right? If we touch the spirit, it's the same. Because your spirit and my spirit are mingled with the Lord. It's not, there's a bunch of mingled spirits around. It's just the spirit of the Lord mingled with the spirit of man. So we are one. We're not one because we decide to be one. We're not one because we try to be one. We are one because we are one. That is in this oneness of spirit. The church life is the fellowship, the communion, the co-participation, the mutual enjoyment of Christ. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That's the church life. Fellowship, communion, co-participation, mutual enjoyment. In the New Testament, fellowship describes the flowing both between us and the Lord and between us and one another. The flow, the current that we have in our spiritual fellowship involves both oneness and life. Our fellowship is a flow of oneness. This fellowship is the reality of the church life. All the local churches, here it goes to the beyond the local church. All of this has been to the local church. Here it goes beyond. All the local churches are one body. And within this body, there is a circulation of the divine life. In other words, we need to go out. We need to blend. We need to enjoy the fellowship of the churches. This is a part of the building process. Then finally, read together 5. Hallelujah. All the local churches should remain in this unique fellowship. Pray 2 by 2, and then I hope that some will come and confirm.